Father, we just bless you and thank you for your word. We thank you that you are filling us with truth this morning and that sin is not a problem. It seems to be a problem, but sin is not a problem. You have dealt with sin according to the blood of Jesus, according to your body. It was all put upon you on the cross, that the law was fulfilled totally. And so we just rejoice and thank you for the book of Romans, which teaches us how to live by faith and how to walk in the forgiven work, the complete work that Jesus Christ has accomplished. In Jesus' name, we praise you for it. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's look over at Romans chapter 6. We're going to start and kind of take a little walk through here this morning. Romans chapter 6. How many still have problems with sin? Huh? Amen. Anybody like me? Praise the Lord. Just still keeps cropping up. You know what? It's going to keep cropping up as long as you're living in this body. Amen. Huh? Hallelujah. We had a pretty good drive to church this morning. There's some drives to church. Anybody know that the devil loves to get in your car on Sunday morning? Huh? Anybody like that? The devil loves to get in your car on Sunday morning and cause strife. You know? I mean, it may happen when you're just you and your wife or something. It's funny. It may happen when it's just you. You know? You're driving down the highway, especially with the guys driving, you know, with ice. You know, you're looking at them. Look at that idiot driving down the road, you know, going 80 miles an hour. You know, you can sin like that. Or you can sin when your kids are all cattywampus, you know, in the car and getting all upset. Amen? It's easy to sin because you live in this body. Amen? Are you rejoicing when you sin? Not rejoicing in the sin, but rejoicing when you sin. Amen? See, otherwise you're going to get like that guy, like we talked about earlier in that scripture, says, when, you know, what time I am afraid, I will trust in God. You could say, what time I sin, I will trust in God. Amen? Because see, what happens is we get involved, we get in the middle of a sin, and what we do is the enemy immediately comes in and attacks us from the flank. Amen? The enemy will come in and attack you from the side. And he will get you depressed. He will get you beat up. He will get you sorrowful and whining. He'll ruin your day. Amen? You know, the enemy loves to ruin your day by bringing in sin. It's kind of like a double whammy. Amen? He comes in, punches you in the nose. And then while you're holding your nose, he punches you in the ribs. And then you're sunk for the day. Or you're sunk till lunch. Or you're sunk till you go home. Huh? Isn't that true? So what God wants to do, he wants to set you free from all that. He wants you to be able to walk in joy, peace, thankfulness, even when sin comes, so you just repent of it, and you just say in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord God, that I'm forgiven. Amen? But what you got to do is get out of this mentality that sin rules over you. Amen? You have to know this. You have to walk in this. Sin does not rule over me. Amen? Now, even though you see it, even though it gets right in your face, big old face of sin, it's like a big old balloon blew up. You know, a face on a balloon, they blow it up. There it is, right there. You know, it's just bigger than life. It's just bigger than a big screen TV. You know, your sins are right there. What shall we say then? Chapter 6 of Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, that's stupid. Or God forbid. Of course not. Of course not. How shall we that are dead to sin. Now, see, you can read these things, and you're just reading like you're reading. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, it's impossible. How shall we that are dead to sin live in it any longer? Well, you know, I believe that God set me free from sin. I believe that I'm dead to sin. Anybody believe you're dead to sin? The reason you'd say you're dead, you believe you're dead to sin is because God said it. Amen? Hallelujah. And then you wake up the next morning and somebody did something, you know. What are you doing there? Stop that. You know, you made me upset. You talked about this and got all over something, you know, especially husbands and wives. We were talking about that. We were over it. So where's Janet? Is she here? Good. No, she, I guess I shouldn't talk about her. No, we were talking yesterday. We was over at Nick and Judy's yesterday, several of us. Having our Valentine breakfast. It was great. Having a Valentine breakfast. And then we got talking about sin. Got talking about marriage. Marriage and sin just seem to go hand in hand, don't they? It's a miracle. You know, that's why God wants you to get married so he can show your sin. Amen? This is awesome. This is really good. Mike, you got to try this. It's good, yeah. It'll show you your sin. Amen. This is good. Yeah. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, so we point out, there's Janet. Okay, good. I can talk now. Yeah, so we were talking about dishes and stuff like that yesterday. And, you know, my quirks, you know, how I got to have things just right. Anybody like me? Got to have things just right. Yeah, James, that's good. Yeah, praise the Lord. And it's pathetic, isn't it? You're just sinning. You just say love is insisting on its own way, and I'm insisting on my own way. That's evil, isn't it? Huh? That evil? Help me out. Yeah, it's evil. I'm insisting on my own way. I was wrong. I'm insisting on my own way. But you should do my way. It's better. But I can't insist on my way. I can believe in my way. Amen? Anybody, you got your own way? Huh? Oh, come on now. You got your own way. This is the way you do it, and this is the way it ought to be done. And huh? Amen. That's right. But if I insist on my way, then I've stepped over the boat. I've stepped out into sin. If I insist on it. So that's evil. So I need to repent to my wife. And I'll do that one day. Now, I guess I better do it in front of y'all. Now, Janet, you'll have to hold me to it, and you'll have to insist on your own way. All right? So, but he said here, that how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not? Do you not know? Do we need to talk more about sin? Maybe y'all need to bring some out. I don't want to leave this without. Okay. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Okay, he's going to walk you through this. If you were baptized into Christ Jesus, baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death. All right? So you're baptized. When you're baptized, not just talking specifically about just water baptism, but baptized into him. You're in Christ. All right? So it's not just water, but water is the demonstration of it. And you were baptized into his death. That is, you were buried with him. Buried with him in baptism, it says. So you're buried with him under the water, then you raised up in newness of life. Therefore, we are buried with him, here it is, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, okay, how was he raised up from the dead? By the glory of the Father. Even so, we should walk in newness of life by the glory of the Father. We should. Now, that should is not, come on, baby, get on the stick. But that's the what was accomplished at the cross. Amen? That's the ability by faith to walk in the promise is what was given by Jesus Christ, and it's accomplished through our baptism. That is, our baptism into him. So in other words, are you baptized into Christ? Anybody here? Huh? Okay, man, you are in. You are in like flint. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So, like him, so us. Like him, so us. Like him, so me. Amen? It's like him, so me. Now, you know, we can talk about it. It's kind of like, wow, we've talked about this before. Amen. We do. We talk about it all the time. But again, it's getting your, bringing your mind into agreement with God's Word rather than in agreement with your experience in this world. Amen? I mean, there's yeah buts everywhere. There's yeah buts all over this world. Yeah but rules this world. Amen? Yeah but, you know, I feel like I love that man, said another guy. Well, you're wrong. You don't know anything. You don't know. The Word of God said that's an abomination. What you're thinking, what you're feeling is an abomination. That is, it's unnatural. It is not godly. So you need to get back into the Word of God and believe what God said about you and what God said is happening in you. Same thing is true of sin. I just happen to be sinning all over the place. Well, listen, here's what God said about you, no matter what you're doing all the time, no matter what you feel like you're doing, no matter how often you bite each other's head off, the issue is that God said, that's not you. Now, you going to believe you, or you going to believe God? Huh? I'm going to believe God. Because if I believe me, I'm a mess. And I'm not going to get happy. There ain't no way you're going to be happy and free believing that, you know, the sin that you're in is what you're stuck with. Because if you're in Jesus Christ and you have all this sin and you're stuck with it, then there's really no help for you. See, He did not only delivered you into heaven one day, but He's also delivering you day by day, He says here in the Scripture, from sin. It doesn't mean you'll ever be fully, completely sinless, but what it does mean is there's going to be some great improvement, but it's not going to be you. The fact is, it's not you fixing up, doing better, getting better. It's the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through you because you believe that this is true. It's not because you're fixing up. It's not the fix-up that does it. It's the belief. It's the walking by faith. It's, Father, I just worship You. See, if you'll be walking in thanksgiving and knowing that He has done these things, you'll begin to believe. You'll begin to walk in newness of life because you believe what He told you. You believe what His Word said is true rather than what your experience is. Well, I hadn't seen it that way. Well, fine. I can understand that. I've been there too. I haven't been where you've been. I haven't been where you've been, but I've been some places. And I understand that the devil works everywhere, in every place, in everyone, to lie to you and to tell you that God can't come through, that God can't fix it, that God can't redeem you from sin. And he's a liar. And he's the father of them. He'll get you into sin and he'll tell you you can't get out. Now what kind of a box is that? You want to sit in that box? I don't. Yeah. I mean, there's sins that are besetting sins. And, you know, if they keep besetting you long enough, you'll just give up to them. You'll just give up and, you know, well, I guess that's just how I am. No, it's not how you are. No, it's not how you are. It's just how I am. No. You've been born again. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lamb of God has been crucified for you. Is anything too hard for Him? Is any sin too big? Did Jesus not die for that one? Did He not die for that one? Yeah, well, I tried to squeeze out enough blood for that one, but poor Jesus, He just couldn't squeeze out enough of His blood to cover that sin. Or, you're a bigger sinner than God is a redeemer. Huh? How about that? Is that you? Man, you're a big dude. Or you're a big girl, you know? If you're a bigger sinner than God is a redeemer, no, there's no way. You can fight with me on this, but I'm telling you what, I know that this is true. This is what's true. He set you free. You can be set free from sin, absolutely. You've already been set free, you just got to know it. For if we've been planted together, verse 5, in the likeness of His death, we shall be. Everybody say, we shall be.
We shall be.
And also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, see, there's another one. Knowing this, see, these are strong. These are strong scriptures. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Which man? The old man. He's what? Dead. Crucified with Him. That the body of sin might be destroyed. See, there was a work going on. That the body of sin might be destroyed. That body that you have that is wrecked and controlled and moved by sin, that body of sin might be destroyed. That hereafter we should not serve sin. Man, that's good. That's good. For he that is dead, he that is dead is free from sin. Well, I'm dead. Are you dead? If you're buried, but you got to back up. Say, therefore we are buried. Well, if you're buried, you're dead. All right? And we've been planted. I don't like planted. Anybody like to be planted? Yeah, that's like dead. That's like buried, planted. It sounds like a seed, but planted is a good euphemism for being buried, isn't it? You're planted like a seed. You're dead. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that hereafter we should not serve sin. There's a purpose in that death, in that burial, is that we should not serve sin. Again, it's not your effort to not serve sin. It's your faith that you walk in love. Amen. Remember that scripture we talked, and Jim talked about that yesterday on this thing, on that our meeting over there at Menicosis, is that talked about, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Is that love, which is called charity in the King James Version, which is very apt because it's closer to the love of God, that is unconditional love, love that is only based on the giver. Like if I'm giving charitably to somebody who's coming in the back door here, it's not because of anything he did for me. Amen? I mean, that guy's, he's in big trouble. But I just give because God told me to do it. Jesus did because he heard his Father. When his Father said, do this, he did that. And that's what you do. Amen? Amen. Say amen. That's what you do. You hear the Father, and you do what he says. Do you believe that? Well, no, I don't seem to. Well, quit looking at what you seem to. Everybody's busy looking at what they seem to. Everybody's busy looking at what they do and what they think about what they do. And you analyze what you do all the time. Quit looking and analyzing your nonsense. See, if you'll just take the Word of God and rejoice in His Word, rejoice in His finished work, not what you have missed and how many times you've fallen down and fallen on your face, you'll begin to walk in joy rather than in hopelessness and false expectation. You're expecting yourself to do something. You're disappointed then when you don't show up. Amen? I know there's people who intend to come to church, and they don't show up, and they're disappointed in themselves. Amen? Because they thought they could do something. And then they were disappointed because they didn't do it. And so it's as if that body could have performed and done something. Amen? It can't. Listen, you must know that the body is dead. And you that are dead are freed from sin. It's no longer I that do it. You've been separated from sin. Do you realize that you have been separated from sin? There's a verse over in Psalm 119. Of course, I go there a lot because it's lots of good stuff in there. What is it? 81? Yeah. My soul, so there's a separation here between your soul and your spirit. My soul faints for your salvation. Oh God, how long is this thing going to take? But I hope in your word. There's a separation. You have your soul and then you have you. Do you know that you've got your soul and then you've got you? Huh? There's a soul and then there's you. Here's the soul. Here's you. Your soul is always trying to work hard. Always trying to produce. Always trying to do something. You're over here. I hope in your word. Father, thank you. Thank you that you've just redeem that old that flesh is no longer what I'm dependent upon. I'm working and begin your flesh, your soul, your spirit then begins to live out through your soul, because your soul is no longer trying to perform anything because it's dead. It's the old man. That part of the soul is the old man. All right, and that old man is weak, and we read about that. We may skip through a little bit of this, but over to chapter 7. But verse 7 there in chapter 6, it said, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe. Everybody say believe. See, if we're dead, then we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once, but in that he lives to God. Guess what? That's you. Likewise. See, likewise means the same way. So what did Jesus do? Let's read it again. For in that he died to sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise. So apparently you've died to sin, and now you live to God. Likewise, reckon or figure or count it. Write it down. It's blue. Well, God said it's red. Well, I'm going to write blue. Well, no, I think I'd write, if God said red, I think you'd write red. All right? You hear me? If God said it, you write it down the way he told you. Because see, otherwise you're going to be condemned. If you write it down the way you sees it, you will be condemned and you'll never get free. You write it down the way God sees it, you're free right away. You're free right away. If you will say what God says, you're free now. If you'll say what God says, you're free now. But if you say what you think, well, you're just still in your sin. All right? Does that make sense? In other words, if God says you're dead to sin, you're dead. If God says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. You may think you're not forgiven. You may think, well, I got to work on this a little bit. I got to sand this thing down a little bit. It's still got some bumps on it. I got to work on it. Make it look better. No, God didn't say for you to make it look better. Amen? He did not say for you to make it look better. Now, this, we're talking about hope. Right now, what we're talking about is hope in the flesh to improve. That's what we're talking about, is that is not going to happen. Is that you're going to do something that's going to please God. You're going to work up a good deed. You're going to work up improvements in your fleshly daily activity that are going to produce something good. God, I'll be right back. I'm going to do this for you, and I'll report back, and I'll be back in a couple of minutes, you know, and we'll see you later. Now, what he wants to do, he wants to go with you. He wants to go with you. He's going to produce the works himself. He's going to produce the works himself. Amen? God goes with you. He goes with you. He produces those works. He produces them. You know, it's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. We don't go out from the prayer closet alone. He goes with me. See, Jesus said, I do only what I see my Father do. Likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as members of instruments of righteousness to God. So you are, it says, let not sin therefore reign, and yield yourself as instruments of righteousness, not unto sin. Okay, now what that's telling you though is not that you're performing it. Now this is very critical, because people don't get this, and it's, in your head it's hard to get, because you're thinking, if it came to you, you're going to perform it and you're going to do it and it's going to be you doing it, you know. No, but you begin to walk by faith in what is, the deed that is to be done is going to be performed, because you know that you are dead and there is no hope in you to do anything that's holy or anything that's righteous. Amen? You got to know from whence the source of the work is. It's not God, okay, God told me to go bake a cake for Sister So-and-so, or go whatever, clean her house or whatever it is. And you know, and you're struggling with it. And you, well, you know, you're going to make it your own. So you kind of make the commandment your own, and then you're struggling with it. And what we do is when we have believed and we hear a word, we just go pick it up. We just go, okay, here I go. And so what you have done now, you have, rather than tried to work up a water on the inside of you, you've just worked up immediate obedience. You know, when your children are small, you work up, you're training them immediate obedience. Amen? When in the army, you train up immediate obedience, right? Let me think about it. No, you don't think about it. When the guy says move, you move. And see, this is what's happening is God comes in and by his Spirit, he is in you to what? To will and to do. And this comes about by meditation, as we're going to teach on this tonight. This comes about by meditation in the truth. This comes about by knowing who you are right here. Know you not that so many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. And then we're buried with him, and we're raised with him, and our old body is crucified with him, and he that's dead is freed from sin. See, now you see, you begin to walk like that, knowing that you're freed from sin. I'm freed from sin. I'm freed from sin. Thank you, Lord. I'm freed from sin. The sin comes up. I'm freed from sin. Amen. I'm freed from sin. And so it takes a long time to do this. It takes a long time to do this because you are in your natural struggling with a flesh that continues to sin. But I tell you that the killer for this whole thing, the faith killer, is where you begin to look at your flesh and say there's no hope. Amen? Well, I've sinned 70 times 7, and that's enough. I mean, if I've sinned 70 times 7, that's even bigger than God can forgive, right? I mean, how many are you supposed to forgive? 70 times 7. Well, what if you sinned 70 times 7? Well, it's just God can't forgive anything above that, right? Is that true? Of course not. Absolutely not. You have been forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Do you know that? I said, you've been forgiven as far as the east is from the west. If you've done it 70 million times 70 million, you're forgiven. Amen? The reason he wants you to come to him and forgive and confess your sin is so you remember you're forgiven. Amen? He wants you to come confess your sin so you'll remember you're forgiven. Otherwise, you'd forget. You'd just go off and just go get in a hole somewhere. So come to him. He said, come and get forgiven. Receive your forgiveness. Receive it every time. Verse 14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Again, let's come back to this. Well, that's just not my experience. Your experience, you cannot live by your experience. You have to live by every word that is constantly proceeding out of the mouth of God, or you'll get depressed and you'll go off somewhere else. I mean, you'll just live your life just depressed and weak and living in sin because you don't believe that sin shall no longer have dominion over you. You need to believe what this word said right here. Amen? Take it. Eat it. Eat this. More. For sin shall not have dominion over you. All right? Let's go cover chapter 7. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, that how the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. And now the woman has a husband, is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law, so she is no adulteress, though she be married to a new man, another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. You are dead to the... Here's the law. Do this. Now, it's all over. Jesus said he did what? What he... heard his saw his father do. Amen? So we are dead to the law. Amen? We're dead to the law. Read it again. Wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit to God. So we're going to bring forth fruit. We're going to bring forth fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit to death. But now we're delivered from the law, being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. See, so we've departed now from serving through our flesh, through our bodies, through our flesh, and we have been brought into living and dwelling by the Spirit. Amen? So now it's no longer a matter of following a law that's put upon us, but following after Christ, walking in His presence, loving Him, living, knowing that He loves me. And you begin to follow after Him by faith, just because you know that you are the beloved of the Lord. See, most of us, we don't even know we're the beloved of God because we're still trying to do good. We're still trying to accomplish something, trying to produce something, trying to be good, trying to please God. You know, God's pleased. How many know God's pleased? He's pleased in and through Jesus. And if I'm in through Jesus, He thinks I'm great. That's weird. But He loves me. He loves you. He loves every person. You've received Jesus Christ. He loves you so unconditionally, so powerfully. He just wants to come and run up. It's like a big old... I was thinking more like a... What's the dog with the little thing on? St. Bernard. Big old St. Bernard. Boom, 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 boom. You know, that guy's after you. He just wants to come up and love you. Oh my gosh! You know, He loves you. He loves you. He wants to come and just pounce on you and just lick you all over. He just loves you. He thinks you're the greatest. Amen? He does. Oh, yeah, He does. But you have an enemy who wants you to believe the opposite. You have an enemy that wants you to believe that he's angry with you. You are delivered from the law. You are delivered from the law. Being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. All right? Not in the oldness of the letter. So, let's go down here, verse 14. Verse 14, chapter 7. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. You're talking about flesh. I am carnal. The law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I... Now, here's the fun one. Here's the fun one we always do. And there's the doorbell. For that which I do, the thing that I perform, the thing that I'm doing, I allow not. For what I would like to do, I don't do. For what I hate, that's what I do. Anybody like that? Golly, man, this makes me sick. I just keep doing what I don't want to do. If I then do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it's good. If I'm doing the thing that I didn't want to do, I'm consenting to the law that it's good. Now, then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. So in my flesh dwells no good thing. See, I can't depend on my flesh for anything. In my flesh dwells no good thing. Are you happy about that? Say yes. Well, because that's the way it is. So you quit being depressed about it. All right? Quit being depressed because you're not, you know, up to snuff. Stop it. Amen. I mean, you waste a lot of time. How many know you waste a lot of time with guilt and condemnation? Anybody know that? I mean, the devil's got a big market on that. Guilt and condemnation is just, I mean, it's a joy killer. And I mean, it just sit on you, rest on you, lean on you. I mean, it'll get all over you. You spend all day like that. Spend months. Some people spend years in guilt, condemnation, and just beating themselves up. Some people just spend all kinds of time with that. And I mean, the enemy has just got them buffaloed. The enemy has got them stuck. They cannot get out, and they're done. Amen? The guy has just stolen your life from you. Guilt is just the biggest, greatest tool of the devil he ever found. Because there is no guilt and no condemnation in Jesus Christ. None. There isn't any. You believe in a lie. Stop it. Come here. I'll slap you. It'll be fun. You'll like it. Amen? Let's slap each other. I mean, quit believing a lie. Quit believing in guilt. Quit believing like that. Amen. Does that mean that God's into sin? Of course not. No. But he knows what's going to work and what's not going to work. What's not going to work is you fixing things. That's not going to work. What's going to work is you believing the truth. What's going to work is you believing what God said. Is that you're dead to sin. I'm dead. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Those verses over in 6 are wonderful. He that is dead is freed from sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. I'm dead. Therefore, I'm freed from sin. I'm walking around freed from sin. I'm going to say that. I'm going to walk in that. I'm going to declare that. When sin comes up and tries to get on me, I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to that. See, and you'll fall in 25 times. I tell you, you fall in, you'll fall into that sin. Here it comes. And you said, I'm dead to you. And you just fall right in. But see, you believe it. You're worshiping God. Even after it's through, even after you have sinned, I want you to begin to worship God and know His love. Once you know His love, you will know that you're dead to sin. Once you know that He has loved you, if you think He does not love you when you sin, you will never know the love of God. And you'll never get free from that sin. Huh? You'll never get free from that sin if you do not know that God loves you while you're in it. Amen. You got to know that God loves you in the middle of your sin. That way you know you're free. That's the freedom. See, that's the thing that the enemy has kept you bound by, is that God's mad at that. And you have to start from ground zero again. You have to start from scratch every time. Huh? You got to start over. Well, back to square one. Well, that's depressing. No. You're already in heaven. You've just got this old flesh that's hanging on. It's just an old flesh. But you know, God's going to do something with that old flesh. He's going to, through it, just because it happens to live here, He'll use that flesh to bless Paul. He'll use that flesh to bless Debbie. He'll use your flesh to bless your wife. Go figure. How could that happen? She's thinking. How could that happen? You're thinking. How could that happen? It's because God loves me. God loves me. Amen? Even when I do wickedly to Janet, God loves me. You know, if I don't believe that, I'll never be any good to her. Amen. You got to know when you sin, God still loves you. God loves you. And you know, when we say, even you know, when I say it like that, it's still, the word still, it's kind of like you're having to try hard. It's kind of like, well, I still love you. But don't do that again. You know, it's like, he's trying. No, He loves you completely, abundantly. It's good. It's good. All right, now, verse 14. For we know the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. The things I don't want to do, that's the things I do. The things I want to do, I can't do them. Then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me dwells, no, in my flesh dwells no good thing. We're in verse 18 of chapter 7. For to will, to want to is present with me, but how to do it, how to perform, how to get it out, the thing that's good, I can't find it. I just can't find how to do it. I just can't find anything in here as to how to do something good. For the good that I don't want to do, or excuse me, I'm going to read this the way it is. I'm trying to help you, but I'm messing it up. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that's what I do. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then, now I'm sharp here, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Whoa, what's going on here? For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You know, I just love God's word. Psalm 119 talks about, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all of the day. And there's several others. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I love God's word. I love His law. I love what He's told me because I'm in Him. He is in me and I'm in Him. I do love His word. I love His promise. I love what he even tells me to do, because you know what he tells me to do is a blessing for me as well as a blessing to my family and my friends and my enemies. It's always a blessing. Whatever God tells me to do is going to bless the entire world. Amen? Do you know he can bless the entire world through you? Do you know that? Do you know how powerful God is through you? That he can bless the entire world through one act that you do? It's incredible. He is just incredible. He knows exactly how to funnel you like a pool cue and a pool ball. You know, he can affect many lives through you. Amen? Just pow, you know. And, three ball in the corner pocket, off the corner edge, bouncing off three or four others. You know, he's got you right where he needs you. But I see another law warring in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Here's what I see. This is my experience. Things seem to fall apart. I just sin. I see another law in my members. Members are fingers and toes and tongues. Warring against the law of my mind. It's a big fight going on here. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Is there any hope at all? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Oh, that's what happens. So he says here, myself is the new man. Myself is the new man in Christ. I serve the law of God. That is, the law of God is performed and produced. Fruit is born through me. But with my flesh, I still serve the law of sin. My flesh still serves the law of sin. My flesh, how many know the flesh is not going to improve? The flesh is just going to burn. That's why we put it in the box and put it in the ground. It turns into dust. It's no good. Chapter 8. Yes, sir. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a second, and then we'll come back to the rest of it. Verse 24, back up to verse 24 again. Oh, wretched man that I am. Now, what word in chapter 8, verse 1, do you think that would correlate to? Oh, wretched man that I am. Starts with a C. Yes, thank you. Otherwise, we'll be here till 1 o'clock. That's good. Oh, wretched man that I am. Condemnation. There is that condemnation coming in upon me right now. Oh, God. Stop it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? See? Your flesh is just, all frustrated. Amen? You think your flesh is separating you from God. You think your flesh is causing a problem. It's not your flesh that's causing the problem. It's that the fact that you have hope in the flesh that causes the problem. Amen? It's the fact that you hoped in that flesh. You hoped in that flesh that it has a problem. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who walk not, I'm going to say, with confidence in the flesh. but rather with confidence in the Spirit. If you have any confidence in the flesh, either to do good or to ruin the show, you're in deception. If you believe in any way that the flesh has power to help you and make you better and make you improve and look good, or if it has any ability to ruin your godly life, that's when you fall into condemnation. You had hope, you had confidence that the flesh had some kind of strength, had some kind of power at all. It has no power. The flesh has no power at all, not to please God and not to disappoint God. It's dead. Now, where condemnation comes in your own mind is that you believe that rather than believing and having hope in the Spirit, because the Spirit is your life. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're walking after the Spirit, there's no condemnation. You don't get condemned. You're not living under guilt anymore. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not living under... I'm not going to listen to you anymore. Well, I can help you. No, you can't. Well, I'm going to ruin you. No, you can't do that either. The flesh cannot help you, nor can it ruin you. Amen. Sin shall not have dominion over you. What are you going to make a song out of that? Sin shall not have dominion over. He that is dead is freed from sin. Come on. Likewise, reckon yourselves. Count yourself. Write it down. Reckon yourselves dead unto sin. Say what God says, not what you think. Amen? Because, see, religion has put you in a box. It said here, act like this. And if you don't act like this, you're bad. If you act like this, then you're good. Oh, nonsense. Knock it off. You're no longer tied to this world in that way. For the law of the Spirit of life, this is verse 2 of chapter 8, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, where? Through the flesh. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. Now, you notice this phrase sounds the same as in verse 1? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, those of us who are not in condemnation. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. The righteousness will be fulfilled as you walk after the Spirit. It'll never be it'll never be done as you're walking after the flesh. That the righteousness, okay, we read that, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind, listen to this, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They focus on the things of the flesh. They're checking the flesh. They're always checking the flesh. Got a little compact. Oh. Checking the flesh. They mind the things of the flesh. They're checking the things of the flesh. They that are after the flesh, they that have confidence in the flesh, are minding the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Sin shall not have dominion over you. He that is dead is freed from sin. We're buried with him in baptism. Likewise, reckon yourselves also. You read chapter 6, and you're going to be in good shape. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit mind the things that are for. Pay attention to and monitor the things of the Spirit. That is what God said about me. What does God say about sin? For to be carnally minded, that is fleshly minded, is death. In other words, you're never going to... That's like a dead battery. That's like, where's that car going to go? Huh? Where's that car going to go? Nowhere. For if you're carnally minded, it's dead. Your car's dead. It ain't moving. It's gone. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, man. No sweat. Because the carnal mind is an enemy against God. That your carnal mind is an enemy against God. Man, God, how can I help you today? Shut up. Who wants to hear from you? Put that guy in the grave. That's it. Game's over. You won. What's the matter with you? Amen. Powerful. That's good. Because the carnal mind is an enemy against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So that flesh won't even... If the flesh says, God, I'm going to help you, what's it doing? Lying. If the flesh says, I'm going to help you, God, I'm going to help you today, you're lying. You're a liar. You know, if you believe that, well, you're in big trouble. You think your flesh is going to help God? You're crazy. You're lying to yourself. Be not deceived, he says. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Period, over, out. Well, I thought I was in the spirit. Well, yeah, but you'll get over that. I mean, you know, you'll get over that. Yeah, it's just like, damn, well, I just don't know whether I'm in the spirit or in the flesh. Well, when you get all depressed about the fact that you've messed up, or you know, all kinds of depression everywhere, you can bet that you're in the flesh. But if you're rejoicing whether you sinned and whether you didn't, not to say that God didn't sin, of course not. But what happens is you are convicted of sin, not condemned. Conviction of sin is different than condemnation of sin. Conviction is, oh dear, my gosh, Lord, thank you that you forgive me for that. Oh, that was wicked. Oh, Father, thank you that you're just causing me to walk in love and peace. I mean, you know, when you're walking without love, you're not happy about that. Rather than, man, they should have done right. God, I had to sin because they did wrong. Yeah, I had to pay them back. Yeah, you know, I'm telling you, the more you get into the Word, the more that you know, listen, I'll tell you what the difference is. The more you know that God loves you, the more that you'll be hearing Him. And you know, the more you'll know what He's saying. Amen? That's right. The more that you know that He loves you, you'll be hearing Him. You'll be walking not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And finally, but you are not in the flesh, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. You are not in the flesh if so be, but in the, I'm going to read it again. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit that raised Christ up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. That is, he's going to begin to operate in you. And your flesh will not be able to withstand. Your flesh will be doing good deeds in spite of itself. And without looking, without checking. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive, energize your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You are not under the law. Walk in the Spirit. That is, walk with hope in the Spirit. Like we read in chapter 8, verse 1 of Romans, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You are not under the law. You are not under the law. You are in the Spirit. The flesh was under the law, but not you. Is the law being fulfilled? It was fulfilled in Christ Jesus, and therefore every day it's fulfilled through you. Every day the law is fulfilled through you, because in Christ, in Him, we live and we move and we have our being. Amen? Don't have any hope in the flesh. I mean, the flesh is just a disappointment waiting to happen. Amen? Your ability to perform is totally inability. But as you come into this Word of God and you know that you that are dead are freed from sin and that sin no longer has dominion over you, you meditate on these things. You think on these things. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Not if there be any depression, if there be any rottenness, if there be any bad attitude. You know, it doesn't say think on those things. They don't think on those things. Think on the things that are what God has done and performed in you. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always. 70 times 7, right? Oh, that was forgiveness. Doesn't apply to rejoicing. Nonsense. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, always is kind of bigger than 70 times 7, huh? Rejoice in the Lord always. All right. Well, that's enough. Father, we rejoice. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Let's lift our hands and just out loud magnify His name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, You love me. You love me no matter whether I sinned or whether I didn't. Father, I thank You that You love me unconditionally, completely. You love me, and I am Your beloved. Oh, give You praise. Lord God, thank You. With Your mouth. Now, You give me praise with Your mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Father, I just thank You right now that we are walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Not that is, walking in the flesh just has confidence in the flesh. We'll walk with confidence in the flesh. We walk with confidence in the Spirit. The flesh, there's no hope. It's hopeless. And so we worship You. We praise You. Thank You for growing up this people, making them more than little children. Making them more than young men, young women. Making them mature fathers and mothers in the kingdom of God. That their sins do not blow them away. And that the glory of the Lord begins to manifest through them and sins just begin to dissipate because they have believed that they are the beloved of the Lord and sin has no more dominion over them. In Jesus' name, now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.